We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What?
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic on the program.
Let's talk some Royals baseball. Alec Lewis joins us here in the program. He is brought to you by our friends the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, did you know that you can walk right into the University of Kansas Health System? That's right. They're right there at 435 and all in OP, diagonal from Topgolf. If you're ages 5 and up, you can walk right in between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, treating any orthopedic or sports injury. Strains, sprains, fractures, dislocations, joint injuries. Trust the experts who care for the Chiefs, the Royals, the University of Kansas athletes, and thousands of middle and high school athletes around the region, serving great school districts like Blue Valley, Shawnee, Mission, DeSoto, Lansing school districts. It is the University of Kansas Health System right there at 435 and all. Alec Lewis, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, sir. I've actually been waiting to talk to you. I felt like last week we spoke, we talked about the Royals. I felt like it could have fired you up more. I'm kind of upset that I didn't do it, so I'm ready for today and excited to be here to talk to you.
Well, I can do it for you. Let's talk Brad Keller.
good. Now I know your mood, and we are off and running.
We're not going to start with Brad Keller. Actually really, really like the guy, Brad Keller. I'll give you my theory on it I want to do it in a little bit, because I think what's going on with the Royals is positive, and I want to be true to what's happening, and I think the overall tenor of our conversation should be positive, because I think they're doing a lot of things right, and I'm not going to call when they're doing things right lucky, because when they're doing things wrong, I'm going to crap on them. Like, that's right. We're going to be accurate about how it works. And I asked the question of Jeff Passan last week, which one of the baby Royals will have the biggest bat when it's all said and done? And he said, I'll still go with Bobby Witt Jr. He said, I think the power, there's another level that we'll see once he's more comfortable in the big leagues. I'm ready to go MJ Melendez or Vinny Pascantino, and I'm not so sure it's not Vinny. His plate awareness, his plate judgment is just so next level compared to anybody else. And then the power, I was like, oh, such easy power with MJ Melendez. I guess I'm not adept enough at swing. Anyone who's seen me swing a bat knows. Yeah, I've seen you swing. You're an idiot. So, like, the easy power thing, I get it. I get why people say it. The one he popped up should have been a pop up and it went out. I mean, I get the power that he possesses. And I don't know that Pascantino has that. Like, I kind of think of easy power as, like, when a guy hits a ball and you're like, yeah, that's going to be an out, and then it goes out of the ballpark. That's easy power.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes. He doesn't take a big swing.
It left the yard.
It doesn't look like it's a big swing, and then all of a sudden it's in the fountains. Those kind of things. Sure. And I don't know that Pascantino falls into that category. It doesn't look easy always when he swings, but he doesn't ever look stupid, right? Which leads me to believe that there's not going to be any massive droughts. And if you don't have droughts and then you have that ability, then I think you're going to have, like, when you're not hot, you're still dropping in singles, and then when you're hot, like he was this past week and being named American League Player of the Year, then you're doing damage the kind that can carry a club. And I'm now of the opinion that Vinny Pascantino is going to be the biggest bat of the bunch. Do you agree with that, or would you take Melendez or Witt Jr. or anyone else you want to throw in there? Would you take somebody else over him?
I'm taking Bobby Witt Jr. I know, Bobby has kind of struggled in these last few weeks, last months, in terms just compared to how he started the season. I lean had some conversations with people. I think he's pretty gassed, and you could say, well, man, that's pretty bad because they haven't. But, I mean, they played him every single day to start this season in the big leagues. And I think the mental energy that calls for and the physical part of it that ultimately I think kind of contributed to some of the hamstring stuff, I think that it just plays a role in what I think we're seeing day to day. So I would take Bobby if you're asking me the three. But I will talk about Vinny because I think if I'm choosing behind Bobby, it is Vinny. And it's kind of like, as we've discussed over the years, as we did discuss with Carlos Santana, like as old as he was and as much as his bat speed did dwindle, that plate discipline, cognitive ability of being able to track pitches, recognize certain pitches is just, I think it allows guys to stay afloat even when they're not barreling up the ball the way that they can at their peak. And Vinny, I mean, there was a stat his first couple weeks where, like, among rookies, he was, I believe, taking more pitches or walking more than any other rookie than besides Stephen Kwan of Cleveland, who's, like, an unbelievably cognitive freak in terms of play discipline. And so the fact that Vinny possesses that with also just, I mean, the underrated quality about Vinny, I think, is just like the way his mind works in terms of game planning and preparation. I mean, a lot of his really impressive swings, home runs in the last week and a half have been on first pitches. And you may be like, okay, that's a fluke. But I mean, I've talked to him in the past just about how much he's studying tendencies and what guys are trying to do to him. And I think just all of that beyond, I mean, the type of guy he is and what he I think has done and will continue to do for this clubhouse is why I mean, it's great to see that he's been able to come up here and do what I think some of us expected. And I know what he expected.
After the Royals' 8-1 loss at Toronto on July 15th, he had played 18 games. His slash line was 190, 311, 302, 612. Since then, 24 games since then, his slash line is 311, 370, 567, 937. That's 100 plate appearances. And in his last 45 plate appearances, 5 homers, 4 walks, 3 Ks. He's hitting the ball over the fence without striking out.
Yeah, he's a freak. And this was something that you just started to see in the minor leagues as he got into the system. He was drafted and really late in 2019. A lot of that was because of a back injury that he suffered that kind of pulled a bunch of scouts in that area off of him. The Royals stayed off of him. A scout, Jim Farr, who I believe is retired, was big on it. So was a guy named Keith Connolly. They ended up drafting Vinny, and I think they just saw from the very beginning, the Royals staff did, that he was just kind of a different – type of guy in terms of the way he goes about it, the way the teammates respect him. I mean, I remember hearing a conversation that he had with Alex Zumwalt back in 2019 when Vinny was in Burlington, and they were talking. Vinny was like, "Are you mad that I'm not hitting as many home runs as I'm hitting?" And I think Alex Zumwalt was like, "Why would I be mad? You're hitting the ball hard and you're taking the correct amount of pitches. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's going to lead to success." And that translates, I think, exactly to what we've seen at the big league level. Like, the numbers weren't great, and yes, he was hitting the ball hard into the shift, but in time, I think anybody you talked to said that it was going to start lifting the ball, that he was going to make the type of contact and make the types of swing decisions that he had in the minor leagues. And when that happened, he would take off, and now here we sit.
You know what, and I get it that the numbers say he's still making good contact and, you know, nothing to worry about. And so when, you know, he's just basically hitting into bad luck and the good luck's going to come and his numbers are going to write. Sounds great, but I've heard that about a lot of guys who then get in a funk and they start chasing pitches and they're trying with one swing to change those numbers on the scoreboard. I mean, they can see him when they walk up there. And the fact that this guy didn't press and did that, right? Like I said, I've heard that said a lot. Usually it's not that easy. A lot of times, I don't know, half the time, it's a trip down to the minors. A lot of the time, it's a year of bad numbers. This guy has not only turned it around, never went into a funk, seemed to never doubt himself, never doubt what he was doing. He's righted the numbers. The numbers this year look like they're going to be very good. that's special. And I don't think the Royals are unique in this. And I think all prospect sites grossly overvalue the run tool, the throw tool, and the catch tool. Because the one that really matters, or the two that really matter, are the, because I know they break it up, into the hit tool and the power tool. Those are the two that really matter. And while I they don't always pay that way, because last year the contract that, who's my guy with the Phillies now, was with the Nationals last year, came up with the Cubs.
Kyle Schwarber.
The fact that Kyle Schwarber was on like a one-year $8 million or one-year $10 million deal was farcical last year. Now he's on a more realistic deal with the Phillies. I get it. Like, he should be playing DH all the time. And every now and then they let him wander around the outfield, and it's not good. I think Vinny, I mean, can play first base, don't you?
Yeah, he's been very, very serviceable at minimum over there. I mean, I think he's been pretty good. I don't know what the metrics say. He might be like negative one outs above average. But, I mean, though Nick Prado's kind of special, he's played – well over there for sure. There hasn't been a time where I've been like, oh, man. And again, I mentioned it, but I really, really, really do not think you can underestimate what he has brought to that clubhouse in terms of like a releasing some tension. I mean, he's just a funny, he's like a, there's like baseball funny guys, and then there's like actually funny guys. I'm not one of them, but Vinny Pasquantino is. He's like a really funny guy, fun to be around. I think he keeps it light and really cares about winning. And I really forever will think that his impact here has been huge, just the vibes changing within that room.
Alec Lewis is with us as we are broadcasting live at ticketsforless.com, where you can save 10% on all your Chiefs tickets purchase. When you use the promo code 810WHB, 810WHB to get those savings. And also clearing up the fact that he's not a funny guy.
Yes.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. We weren't sure. Now we're sure. Not a funny man. Alec Lewis is with us. But he is a heck of a Royals insider, so we do appreciate that part of the equation.
Man, you're the best. You're the best.
Thank you.
Because you know, Bill Burr's funny, but he knows nothing about the Royals.
Sucks on the Royals. Come out, do a great bit on the WNBA.
Yeah.
You know, but you call that a large? How about those Royals? How about
my
this?
My goodness, like it's like a grain silo with a lid on top of it. Like, that's the largest drink I've ever seen.
Our buddy Dylan was making a run for, where's your coffee? Couldn't carry it at the same time as the... As the silo of soda that was brought by?
One of the comically large.
He needed
a... mission accomplished. Alec, not funny. Dylan, funny. Look at the size of this soda. This is comedy right here. We'll tweet out a picture of this thing. How it dwarfs what QT thinks is a large. Holy cow. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got distracted.
No, it's hilarious. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I should... have aspartame poisoning by about the midway point of this soda. Because I'll always diet for me.
Right. It's
right.
I love when I go through the order a massive and a Diet Coke. I know the people inside are just going, stop.
Or like 7 Whoppers, 3 fries, chicken sandwich, and medium Diet Coke. Yeah.
I'm trying to cut back.
Okay. You had us thinking this was for 6 people until you ordered one drink. You admit you have a problem when you order 2 drinks for yourself.
Yes. And they hand you 2 straws. You're like, you're precious. You're just precious. Thank you so much for that.
I definitely need the 2 straws because it's really for multiple people. I'm not actually going to consume 9,500 calories in one meal.
Bless your heart.
Hence, do you get 2 drinks, Curtis, to really throw them off? I'll take a Diet Coke and a Diet Dr.
Yes,
Pepper.
Yes. Yeah, it's for my friend who's not, you know, my friend who's not here right now. You go to buy clothing, and they ask if you want it gift wrapped. 2XL. Would you like this gift wrapped?
2XL is junior high in your days. Come on,
yes,
now. Stop.
Yes.
All right, we're talking Alec Lewis before Curtis threw us off track here. I don't know why he's doing that.
I'm always grabbing the wheel.
So, yes, Vinny Pasquantino. I think that, to your point, what you were saying, I agree with. And do you, like, I'm trying to come up with an example within the Royals. But, like, the guy who can run around baseball, this is from playing fantasy baseball for all these years, the top prospect's like, oh, God, and he stole, you know, 41 bases down in the minors. Comes up to the bigs, he's 27 of 34. Then he's 19 of 23. And then he's 12 of 15. And then he doesn't steal 10 bases again the rest of his career. Oh, by the way, and he tops out at like 22 homers. But then the guy who wasn't, you know, in the tops of the prospects or even ranked is clubbing 40-plus home runs a year and is getting a $100-plus million contract. And that's how I think this is going to play out. Bobby Witt is a much more athletic player, but the skill that wins baseball games is hitting a baseball consistently and consistently over the wall. And that is what Vinny Pascantino is going to do. And I'm not convinced Bobby Witt Jr. still swings at too many crappy pitches.
I mean, that's fine for you to think that. That's okay. I'm not gonna scream at you. But I think this last month probably, and I don't know the numbers right in front of me, and I can go look them up. But I think it's kind of, I mean, what Bobby did to start this season, and it was incredibly impressive playing defense every day, stealing bases the way he did. I think he's hit 15, 16 home runs. And you look around and, like, prospects like Spencer Torkelson, for example, were not – I mean, Bobby went through a similar kind of skid the way Vinny Pasquantino did and bounced out of it to a degree. I mean, I remember that Angel series in Anaheim. Bobby hit two home runs. It was an unbelievable night. We're talking about, I think, two elite-level prospects, and the fact that the Royals have two, one of which was a number two pick, the other of which many other teams passed on many times, is just a very positive thing.
Yes, I would agree. Let's get into the pitching side of things, which we're seeing some progress in some places, not so much in others. We'll do that with Alec Lewis. He's our Royals insider from The Athletic. He's brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System, where if that wrist that you that's been barking at you since you fell down playing soccer and you're not sure if it's broken, why are you waiting? You can get an answer to that right now. Since it's between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. and it's between Monday and Friday, you can walk right in to the University of Kansas Health System. Their walk-in clinic is open. Don't wait months someplace else trying to get in to get the answer you need right now. Walk in right now, 435 and all, the University of Kansas Health System offering walk-in care for orthopedic injuries right now. Go see them at 435 and all.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer.
That's right.
Chris Martin of the Dodgers did it last night. It seemed like they got Chris Martin. Like, that would be a Dodger. It seems like that. Two Royals have struck out four batters in a single inning. I asked for either one.
Two Royals have struck out four batters in a single inning.
By the way, last night was the 100th occurrence of it. All but five of those have happened since 1956.
Blake Stein did something else. He had some.
He had eight straight.
Dan Reichert to it.
Nope. It is one pitcher of massive note. He is a Royals Hall of Famer. The other pitcher is like, really?
Monty.
Nope.
Apier.
Kevin Apier.
Nailed
September 3rd, 1996.
Challenge me a little next time, Chris.
The other happened May 3rd, 2017.
Danny Duffy.
Nate Karns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you think if two Royals pitchers have done something, it would be Apier and Karns.
He came over from the White Sox, right?
I believe so. And he did it against the White Sox, too.
Or he was a White Sox at one point.
Revenge game for Nate Karns.
That's what it was. He was a National, a Ray, a Mariner, a Royal, and an Oriole.
So, and where was the White Sox?
He wasn't. I thought he played for the Pittsburgh
White Sox. Yeah, he wasn't with the White Sox.
Karns with a C?
K.
Exactly.
K.
Yeah, there you go. I actually knew it was a K. I just knew it'd be better if I missed on that one. Great Cajun food from Jazz, the Louisiana Kitchen. You won't miss there. Go to jazzkitchen.com. They cater. They're a great Cajun menu and an entire menu that's not even Cajun. So whatever your event, let the great folks at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen cater for you. Find them at jazzkitchen.com or see them in person. I-70 and 291 in Independence. 39th at State Line down by the University of Kansas Health System. And Jazz in KCK is at the Legends. Get you some great Cajun food tonight at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We're live at Tickets for Less, another great KC company, ticketsforless.com. Growing and growing and growing. Why? Because you get tickets for less. See, their name kind of says it all, people. No per-ticket fees, and right now, save 10% on your Chiefs ticket order when you use the promo code 810WHB. You can even get Royals tickets, too. Even suite tickets. Ask them about suite tickets. At Tickets for Less, call 913-685-3322. Want to go to the preseason Chiefs game against the Packers, $15 in the upper level, $30 in the lower level. Call 913-685-3322. VIP tailgate for the preseason, it is just $20 for the Washington or Green Bay game, $20 for the VIP tailgate right now. It's at ticketsforless.com.
The first pitch meeting, they're all sitting around the table, and Dan's like, okay, what are we going to call this place? And some guy goes, tickets for more. He's like, you're fired. Out of here.
Alec, my friend, let's talk a little bit about the pitching side of things. Brady Singer, I asked for an upside from Randy on Sunday on our Kauffman Corner podcast. He said James Shields. What's the upside you see for one Brady Singer now?
That's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if this one's a little aggressive because of how good the guy's been, but I mean, he reminds me a little bit just in terms of like background and temperament of Aaron Nola with the Phillies. I mean, big time LSU pitcher Nola was, who was obviously drafted high, who utilizes a two seam and slider. And now he has a few other pitches, I believe, a curveball that Brady doesn't have, but just in terms of like competitiveness and ability to locate and durability, that's what I'm thinking of. But I mean, the James Shields comp is obviously close to people's minds here. It makes sense. I mean, he has led this staff over the last 2 months. I mean, he's been really, really good. And you heard it after he faced the Yankees in the Bronx. Aaron Judge was talking about him. I mean, you heard it recently after he faced the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman and Dave Roberts, they were kind of raving about what he did. So it's been an important and an impressive stretch.
Yes, I would say, and do we believe that he's locked in? This isn't just some Brad Keller like good stretch, and we're going to have some implosions as well, that his bad days will be 5 runs on 6 innings. And he's now going to be a guy that can, you know, be one of the anchors of your staff.
Yeah, I think I'm nearing that point for sure. I mean, the one thing that it's just so interesting is, like, if you go on certain websites and try to find, like, how does Brady's two-seamer and slider compare metrics-wise to others? Like, the metrics on his pitches do not blow the other, I guess, pitchers out of the water. It's kind of, like, hard to understand how with his pitch shapes and velocities and release point, like, how it's all working the way it is. But the truth is, like, as scouts will often say, like, the hitters tell you what you're seeing. And right now, every time Brady Singer is on the mound and dialed in, the hitters look lost. They look uncomfortable. It looks like, as one scout who was in attendance the other day against the Dodgers, he's like, it looks like he's just bullying really good hitters. And when that's the case, the guy is – that's kind of the defining characteristics of a frontline guy. And so it's with what he's shown and the sustainability of it. I mean, we're talking a really good stretch here of like 2.5 months, and that's enough for me to really lean strongly into the fact that he's proven he could be this consistent guy.
And so now you got one locked in. We watched Daniel Lynch battle the Dodgers through 5 innings, but both guys give up more walks than you like, but the Dodgers are as tough a lineup as you're going to face, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. Where do we sit now on Daniel Lynch?
Yeah, I think Daniel Lynch, I mean, going back to when all these guys were just prospects and hadn't debuted, I think there were people, Keith Law at The Athletic, believe that Lynch maybe had the highest upside of all of them, and so I have that in the back of my mind while I'm also just watching what he's shown. And with Daniel Lynch, I mean, I think the fastball has played up this year more than it did last year. I think he's had trouble locating the slider, which has been his best pitch, so that's affected things. And it seems like at times he'll get to 2 strikes or even 2 outs and just can't put guys away. And I guess you could say with guys like Brady Singer, that's been a theme over the years, that just more time, more experience has allowed Brady to move past that. Maybe that would be the case for Daniel Lynch. I mean, I just still don't think with some of the blister stuff this year, the cut stuff, and then just the way last year played out, that I'm in a spot, or anybody would be really, to say convincingly, we know what we have here. But I think down the stretch, looking at 2023, it's going to be essential to continue to evaluate and I think reach a point at which you do have more confidence in what he is and can be for you.
Yeah, let's get to Brad Keller. Let's go through Chris Bubich first. Where's your confidence in Chris Bubich now?
Yeah, Chris has had a really good stretch, too, behind Brady Singer. I mean, last night it was probably his worst out in the last month and a half, 2 months. And I haven't had as much confidence in Chris's ability to continue to do what Brady has done. And that's partly, I mean, I'm talking to a bunch of people in terms of his three-pitch mix. I mean, the fastball with its velocity, it just really has to be located well or has to be really moving on that day for Chris to have sequencing his three pitches really, really well for him to dominate really good lineups, which he's done. But it's harder to believe, for me at least, that that's as sustainable without more weapons or more velocity or more consistent movement. So I'm still a little, for me, is a little jury's out on how much you can really rely on him over the course of an entire season. Think about
next
year.
Brad Keller. My frustration with the Keller situation is that at some point there has to be a minimum requirement to do the job. And even if it's I get what people will say, and I mentioned my conversation with Randy this past weekend. He's like, well, you know, talking about Brad Keller's a waste because the bigger issue is that they're not developing enough pitching. Got it. I got it. And I get that. So somebody has to facilitate the game. But I think you also have to set kind of the code of the road. Like, pitch this bad this often, you can't have this position. Being a starting pitcher in baseball carries some swagger with it. It's a thing, right? It's different than being in the bullpen. Just like being a closer is bigger than just being in the bullpen. Like, being a starting pitcher is something. And I don't care if Angel Zerpa's good enough to give it a go. When they're on doubleheaders, he's good enough to give it a go a couple of times. And if he sucks, then on to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. I think part of their, you know, they're a soft ball club. Let's call it what it is. Okay. And I think part of their softness is that everybody is gifted their position in perpetuity and nobody ever has to worry about losing their job. So, you know, why really bear down and get it done? Five years. They're 5 years of service time into Brad Keller, and they're still trying to develop him as a starter. They're developing 5 years into his service time.
Yeah. Two things. One, I think it's not going to make you happy, this first one. I really know it. I'm really kind of afraid you're just going to combust. But I think, like, even Hall of Fame pitchers like Zach Greinke are still developing at the end of their careers. So that's first and foremost. Second,
no, that's so laughable it won't even upset me.
Okay.
Like it's colossally
good. I'm glad I can make you laugh. The second
Zach Greinke is still we're talking Brad Keller and your response is Zach Greinke is still developing.
Yeah, that's what I said. I had 2 points. You wouldn't let me get to the second one. But now here it is.
All right.
Brad Keller will be a free agent at the end of next season. So at this point, where we stand right now, is the optimal decision for thinking about maybe trading him this offseason or I've traded him next trade deadline, is the optimal decision to push him to the bullpen, or is his peak value potentially for a trade as him as a starting pitcher? What do you think?
Okay. So you're asking me the question, and I'm not going to ask you because then you and I will just piss and moan back and forth. So I'm going to ask Curtis. Curtis, would you trade for Brad Keller to start?
I would not.
For your ball club? You're GM of the Mets. You trading for Brad Keller?
No.
GM of the A's. Are you trading for Brad Keller?
No.
No, so spare
me. A's? Okay. The A's would trade. The A's good trade for Brad Keller.
Hang on.
I wouldn't trade
not,
much.
Not much. Nothing that the Royals would want.
I never said it would trade much.
I would trade you that large drink.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Asked me the question. His optimum value, right? You said, well, is his optimum value? All right. So I gave you his trade value. You said I wouldn't talk a trade value. Are you telling me throwing meatballs at the dish for three plus innings and getting his brains beaten in, his optimum value is in the rotation if you're talking about trying to win games with the man?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The other way you could look at it, I mean, I'm not saying, look, I hope no one takes this as like Alec Lewis thinks Brad Keller is.
They won't because I won't let it go that far. Trust me.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you're.
I want to give you my real answer to your question, right?
Okay.
I played the game the way I knew you wanted me to play the game, but let me give you what my real answer to that question is. It's moot. You shouldn't be sitting here at this point. He's another guy that either through the failure, and now he didn't go through the Royal system because he's a Rule 5. But and I will, as I've said all along, I'll reiterate it. You don't want to fire Cal Eldred? Fine. Just tell me who in the minors you're going to fire who didn't get it done. Somebody, something in the pitching development part and in the pitching coaching part of the Royal system must change next year. Something must change. All right? So, fine, he didn't get it developed. Right, so we're getting a guy who, you know, when you're a Rule 5, you kind of rush to the bigs. And he had instant success as a reliever. And they have tried. And they had a 9-game stretch in a COVID year where he was pretty good. Otherwise, it's been at best mixed results, usually more bad than good. And my point is, you should have ejected on him as a starter a long time ago. And that's where I get. He's the symptom. The disease is you don't have more pitching to plug in there. Go
right, exactly,
get it,
exactly.
But go get it. Put him back in the bullpen and let him shine there, and then trade him for a starting pitcher prospect. See, the reason it's like, well, what are we going to do with his value? We have to start him because who else could we get? I don't know. Go sign or trade somebody who can start professional Major League Baseball games. See, they can't ever go sign anyone because they're so backed up on this 40-man. Like, I mean, where would we put anybody? We're in the midst of losing 105 games. How could we fit anybody on our 40-man roster? I mean, it's just packed with talent. Like, that's laughable. It's laughable. And if you go one through one, they'll give you their passion for every one of the guys on the 40-man. And 10 of them are going to be ass, right? Pure, unadulterated ass.
As David Lusky said, rancid ass.
Yes, that's what they're going to be. And which one is it? I don't know. I'm a talk show host. I'm not the pitching coordinator of the Kansas City Royals, but figure it out. I mean, have you gone back and looked at some of the names on the 40-man from 5 years ago? You'll be like, who is this guy? You know, it's a scene from Major League. We'll cross him off then. Like, it's, I mean, come on. Like, that's my whole point. For 5 years, he's never really grabbed the job other than a COVID season, and that bought him 2 more years of get-out-of-jail-free card to start. Like, well, just make the statement we won't tolerate this and trade him for whatever.
Well, I was going to say, and you went over this, but I was going to say, well, the other reason that I was going to make my addendum to point two that – he has a buildup of innings, so they were gonna. That would give them, because they didn't have many starters built up to go like 180 innings over the past few years. He also fit that bill, but we already kind of discussed that you wanted someone else who would be more formidable as a starter. I mean, it the Brad Keller situation. It is. I mean, the fact that he really hasn't progressed very much just in terms of like a long, stable consistency, it does raise questions, and I get your frustration, and I'm more like listening to you do it than me go.
Yeah, I know you're not disagreeing with me, but that to me is like the final hurdle for them to get over. Is I appreciate, and I think there is value in the we love our guys more than the other guys. But man, you still got to know when to eject, right? Like, they're not your kids. They're not. And so you can they are still commodities, and your job is still to win baseball games. And it's a business. And Eric Hosmer didn't stick around. Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, you know, the only guy who stuck around was Danny Duffy, right? And you overpaid, frankly, to get him to do that when it was all said and done. So sitting around here like, well, we're going to make – if Brad Keller comes out and has a Cy Young next year, do you think he's signing here? Because I don't. Because, first of all, this place would be like, well, we know that's not real. And some other team would grossly overpay for what they think is the guy who's now figured it all out. That's my right. frustration. Keller, it's not a frustration in Brad Keller, the guy. To me, it is their Achilles heel on things that they can't move on from anybody ever. Right? I don't even need to bring up the shortstop.
No, you don't. You really do not. But to play out the thought experiment, like, if you eject from Brad Keller before this year, then I guess you have to spend money for a free agent, or you have to trade some prospect to acquire a starting pitcher. And obviously, I mean, it's either one of those is obviously tough. You spend money, then there's just more responsibility on the people in charge. If you trade a player that might be part of the core to get a starting pitcher, then you don't have a – so, I mean, that's, I think, the route they've chosen, and now here we sit.
I bring up Montas not because I have this love affair with Montas, even though if Jeff Passan's listening, he thinks I do. I bring him up just because that's a name they were linked – that's a name that they were linked to. Had they traded some prospects, what if they traded Nick Prado for Frankie Montas, and Brad Keller went back to the bullpen?
Like, they would have been better this year, yeah.
And moving forward, right? Brad Keller might have gone back to being the guy he was in the bullpen, which was a really good piece. And maybe you spin him at the deadline, and you get three more, you know, quality players. Like the whole, I'm kind of struggling with the, we want to build it for the long haul, which is a state, which maybe they've moved off of. I need to, you know, talk to Dayton Moore at some point again. But he said that in 2018 when they began the rebuild process, and I respect it, and I valued it, and I've remembered it. Well, then that means, like, sometimes you trade for a guy before it's all done. Because the other thing that's looming is, look, there are seven rookies in the lineup last night. Seven. And guess what? Sure. 6 years, 6 years from now, seven of them are free agents.
Yeah, I get it. But there's also, like, just to say the Montas for Prado, like, it's just there's a lot of elements to it. One, like, there were questions about Frankie Montas' health. Two, you don't know the actual offer would have been just
I know, but don't get bogged. I know. Don't get bogged down in the specific names.
No, but they matter. But they matter. Like, because this is the thing. We always – and it's often thrown around. Trade this. Do this. Nobody – rarely do you know the actual offer, at least. I mean, at times you hear certain offers, of course, but rarely do you know the actual offers. And without that, to me, that's the most important piece of every single trade, is what the offer is actually. So it's easy on the outside to analyze and throw stones, but I think you just rarely know. Now, do I think, to your point, to rebuild it back for the long haul, it would benefit to be more transactional and to move certain guys at certain times and part with players you might love for more in return, to maybe even flip them down the road? Yeah, of course. That's how the Milwaukee Brewers have operated. The Cleveland Guardians have operated. The Tampa Bay Rays have operated. And they have been successful more often than not.
And you're shooting me down because what?
No, I'm not shooting you down. I'm just saying, like, it's easy. I think it's really easy to nitpick to take Frankie Montas, Nick Prado. We could do it with any player, like MJ Melendez, Breck. It's just hard without knowing how other teams think in terms of what they want.
I agree. I agree. Yeah. It is easy to nitpick. You know what? So I won't argue that point. You know what else it's easy to do? Point out that they haven't traded any player of appreciable value that they have any control of since who? Will Myers?
Yeah, like, that was Yeah, that's a big one. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
I mean, Emmanuel Rivera, no. That one right now.
Sean Manaea.
Okay, yes. Okay, so we're at 15, 2015. I mean, yeah. The Rays have moved how many guys that are actually good players? They're constantly moving players.
Oh, yeah, Blake Snell. I mean, Cleveland's done it a bunch. Corey Kluber. I mean,
the shortstop they moved last year in season.
Mike Clevenger, they moved to the Padres. No argument here. The Brewers just moved Josh Hader, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking for.
Yeah, that's very fair. And, I mean, like we've talked about Whit Merrifield at nauseam and the time at which they traded Whit Merrifield and not trading Salvador Perez. And, that is in a small market, like I thought a lot about the Josh Hader trade that the Brewers made. And I think David Stearns, their president of baseball ops, after that trade was like, for us to sustain what we've done, what we want to do, this was something we chose to do. And now, I mean, I know right now with the Brewers and their situation, I think there are people that are upset, but it was a hard one that they kind of decided to roll with to give them the best chance moving forward in the long term. And so, yeah, for these small markets in this sport, that for teams to at least be in the mix every single year and maybe not win, maybe not get to the mountaintop because none of these three that we're talking about have. That's the strategy that seems to be best fit for sustained success, which, to your point, the Rose have discussed wanting the last 4 years at least.
Let's get to our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Royals. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System, guess what? They can see it quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine or just walk right in right now at 435 and Null, open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'll start you with this. Did you watch the Better Call Saul finale?
No, and I like when that show first came out, I was watching it and I liked it, and I think I just drifted off. But it seems like people love it and loved all that, and I felt kind of like I was missing out. Did you?
I did. Of course I did. Yes, absolutely I did.
I'm missing out.
Yeah, great show. Great show.
Okay.
I'll talk more about the ending. Some people DVR it. I like to wait a couple of days to give people a chance to see it before I start commenting about it. If you were to go to ticketsforless.com right now, you could get the VIP tailgate passes for $20. It's all you can eat barbecue. Also, all you can eat beer and seltzers. Are you a seltzer guy?
This came up. I was talking to a scout in the press box the other day, and this came up, and I was like, yeah, I'm not drinking a seltzer if I'm going out on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, but I'm drinking a seltzer if I'm outside hanging with people or I'm at the pool or whatever, then I can drink a seltzer. I'm not drinking a ton of them, but they're not bad for sure.
How does that just come up?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, we understand how it comes up here. I grill you at the end of conversations, but did somebody come up and go, "Hey, I got five things I want to know about you right now." Do you drink seltzers?
Listen, when you're talking with the scout, okay, for example, like it's not just like, "All right, give me the breakdown on this player." It's like, "All right, I'm going to ask about Brady Singer." Now the conversation is going to drift. We end up at seltzers. Now I'll bring you back to Emmanuel Rivera. Okay, that's just kind of how these things go. That's how that happened. Awesome. Very weird, but glad I was prepared.
Yes. Okay. Does Brad Keller make every start the rest of the way?
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It's the easiest one ever. Yes, he does.
The Keller Coaster will continue. The Keller Coaster at Worlds of Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is there one more question? Or are you just
there's
so
one
mad
more.
Who needs
the
Zambezi Zinger?
Yeah.
They're bringing it back.
I know.
I'm just letting that one marinate.
Okay.
Do you watch Peaky Blinders?
No. I don't know anything about Peaky Blinders.
Wow. That's too bad. shaking the kids, shaking his head right now. Like, it's
wearing a Peaky Blinders T-shirt.
Tell you what, if you come by here, Uncle Rico, our intern, he'll slice your throat with his with his Peaky Blinder cap. So just be a little bit careful, okay, Alec?
Yeah, don't think I'm going by there. I'll probably just enjoy my night. But, no, I appreciate the offer.
You bet. You bet. Alec Lewis from The Athletic. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, sir. And see you guys.
All right, you can get great tickets to the Royals if you want. Grab even sweet tickets. They got great seats for the Kansas City Royals here at ticketsforless.com. Star of the show today, though, 10% off on Chiefs tickets. You know you're going to the games. Buy them now. Save 10%. This is only for a limited time. Use the promo code 810WHB. ticketsforless.com. You can come by and see us, 7311 West 130th Street. We had a friend come by.
We did.
And say hello, picking up tickets. Everybody's getting tickets here. I need some concert tickets. Chiefs tickets are the star of the show, though. 10% off right now if you use the code 810WHB. That's now until 6 o'clock. Great specials on all kinds of Chiefs tickets, including their four-pack for the game against the Seahawks and the game against the Broncos. Four tickets and a parking pass for just $225. And if you need preseason tickets, that's great. Call and get them right now. In fact, the Packer game, you can get them $15 in the upper tank, $30 in the lower level. And the VIP parking pass for all the preseason games, both preseason games, is just $20. That's all you can eat and drink right there at the best tailgate going. It's all from a great Kansas City company. Ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322.
All right, how many foreign-born players have won an NFL rushing title? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.